this very morning. Dun-dun-dun. Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills.
How are you?
Good. Weekend, totally non-professional.
The weekend, totally non-professional?
Yeah, you didn't get called in for anything or anything goofy going on.
I got
on.
A couple phone calls, but it wasn't too bad. It was a good weekend.
Oh, good. Which means that the other guys had to handle it?
The other guys did very, very well, as usual. Steve and Brian are killing it.
Yeah.
Not literally, of course.
Yeah, well, you know, if the case, if the situation presents itself. So, you found the new quote book.
I found the new quote book, and I have it opened. May I read it for you?
Yeah, well, and note that it's been used. We got thousands now. Oh, you're going to use your own pen.
Yes.
Fine.
And this is in honor of Chief Ken Woods, who will be departing shortly. There is no smoke without fire. Is that profound?
That's heavy, man. Who's the source? Or can you pronounce it?
My eyes up. From 200 BC, Cirilio.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
You know, it's interesting.
So it's been around for a while.
Yeah, and then right below it, there's another one. There is no fire without smoke, so I'm not really sure which is.
Oh, gee. First of the year, what does it mean for you? Yeah, it's not the first of the tabulating year. It's not the first of the fiscal year. It's just the first of the calendar year.
Yes.
Much change?
We're still moving forward. I know it's kind of like, why am I interviewing this guy? We're still moving forward with all the stuff we've been working on during the year, and I see no letting up. We're just continuing to press forward with some major issues that we're trying to deal with here in Eureka.
What got you the most traction?
Well, homeless, I think, is obviously the biggest issue on most people's minds, and I think that is truly something that everybody's trying to grapple with, trying to understand, trying to figure out the best path forward.
Is that what did you get the most traction on that area of enforcement this past year?
Yeah, you know, I think that the city manager put together a good plan. It was agreed upon by all of the department heads to move forward in a systematic fashion, which was good. I think that we need sound policies. And so we're moving forward with that, and we're reducing the footprint out behind the Bayshore Mall. We've gone from 140 tents, quote, to down to about 84. And shrinking.
So where'd
smaller.
They go?
A variety of places. I know that one nonprofit has housed over 40. And we have been working with MIST and the MIST team to get people into housing. And we've seen in the neighborhood of another 35, 40 go. So I think people are getting housed. It's taking time, but we're moving in the right direction. I think there's some good momentum.
There's not less, is what I was.
Well, no. No. Okay. And I don't see that as my or the city's responsibility, to be very frank. I think there's a lot of other people who we pay a great deal of taxes to that should be taking care of that, as well as the homeless themselves. They got to step up.
Now, we've seen a couple of property owners do some interesting things. We'll talk about whether or not that's something that EPD has supported, suggested, or just was kind of pleased with when we come back.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Andy Mills. Andy, some of the things that have happened in association with, the systemic approach is property owners, I think, at this point, are to the point of frustration, so they're looking for help and looking for answers and looking for something that they can do because they see it. You know, whether it's their customers commenting on it or what they see when they go to work in the morning or people on their property taking things or taking advantage. Is there a program for property owners to deal with homeless? The mom and dads, the residential home, the small independent business guy, not the big scale ones.
You know, there's a couple deeper principles or philosophies here that, you know, we can get into. Sir Robert Peel said the police are the community and the community are the police. The police are only those members of community who are paid to give full-time attention to duties that are incumbent on every citizen.
Now you have to be full sharing. You know, one, yeah. You recognize a guy and you can quote a guy whose name is Sir.
Sir Robert Peel from 1829.
Yeah, yeah. So come on, I know the story. Keep going.
I'm going to unfold it here a little bit, unpack it a little bit. So everybody has responsibility in this.
He's the first guy that had a law.
You want to know who Sir Robert Peel
was?
Yeah,
okay, and why you know a quote.
Okay, Sir Robert Peel was, you know, the father of modern-day policing. I mean, we went from the sheriffs, you know, back in the 1700s to an actual police department. And Sir Robert Peel founded the London Metropolitan Police in order to now be able to police what was becoming the Industrial Revolution in London. So he had the Peelian principles, and he had about 15 of them that were there to guide policing. And even it was kind of like our Constitution. Even back then, it was very insightful, and it translates to today. And you know that the police can't, for instance, the police can't police without the support of the community. There's just, you know, you don't have small numbers to take care of big populations unless you have the willing cooperation of the community.
Or a tank.
Well, yeah, we're getting rid of that. So thanks for bringing that one up, yeah. Brian.
Well, you know, there was a second page to that. Yeah.
So when I see community members, for instance, like the Humboldt Office of Education put up that fence at 6th and Myrtle and along that property, that is the right thing to do, because what you're doing is you're controlling your property. Crime takes place in three areas. It takes place by the same number of victims, the same number of suspects, but also by location. Certain locations are more conducive for crime by type than other locations. So if you can eliminate the location, you're eliminating a third of that triangle, and that can reduce the incidence of crime. So, for instance, one convenience store gets robbed all the time. The next one down the street doesn't. You have to ask yourself why. Why is that getting robbed all the time? And if you can change the environment or the practices of that location, you can control crime. And so when I see community members like the Humboldt Office of Education work with us, you know, to put up a beautiful fence like that that looks good in the community as well as serves a purpose, now we can go in and do a little bit more rigorous enforcement, because nobody should be there. There's clearly a fence that says you can't be here. The same with, for instance, the shopping cart ordinance. There were, when we got here, hundreds of shopping carts everywhere you looked on the street. Now it's been reduced greatly. It's not perfect. It's not without shopping carts, but it's been reduced. And that is because of the cooperation of some of the businesses who have put in electronic cart mechanisms, who are now picking up their carts more frequently. There's a variety of things. And if you look, it's normally the same businesses where the shopping carts are that are out there on the street. And so now the city is speaking with those folks, saying, okay, now we're no longer asking you, we're telling you, you got to do some things.
Is that across the board for all businesses?
No, it's by size. So if you've got just a mom and pop operation, you only have a few carts, it's not the big problem that some of these other businesses are.
Well, it may still be a big problem for you as the individual business proprietor.
Yeah.
But yeah. Is shoplifting seen parallel trends?
You know, it's interesting, because when we moved the folks out of the Marsh from the south end up to the Palco, the pole shed property, it appears to me, and I haven't pulled the data to take a good hard look at it, but it appears to me that the incident of shoplifting has decreased in the mall. Now, we still get plenty over there. It was just the holiday season, which you get even more during the holidays, but it appears it's decreasing. So we're going to have to take a look at that. I've already asked Brittany to pull the data, Brittany Powell, to pull the data on that, to take a look at before and after moving the folks, because I think what's happening is we're moving them further away from those stores, and then making them more accountable through visibility. Because if before you could shoplift out of Walmart, run into the brush, and be gone in literally 10 seconds. Now it's a little bit harder. There's no place for you to go.
But Old Town didn't see a spike that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of.
Because that was, obviously that was one of the big deals. And the, what is it, you break the window, the car
smashing,
window?
Car burglaries?
Yeah. Those, have you seen any changes?
Not.
Because there's a, I'm not going to go through every individual one or ask you to, but with a shift and a change, there's ripples. I'm just wondering where the ripples are, if it's starting to impact some of the neighborhoods anyway.
I don't see that at this point, but we are certainly taking a look at that and pulling the data.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Andy Mills, Chief of Police from Eureka. So, 2015, good, bad, so-so, trend positive, negative? What? How would you describe using simple words and phrases?
Well, I think we're headed the right direction. We have some, when I came here, I said this, and I believe it even more today, and that's, we are a small city with major urban problems. Not only homeless, but we've got some gang problems. We've got some...
Still haven't heard about those lately.
Yeah, well, we had a murder this year that was gang-related.
Locals on locals?
Yeah, locals on locals.
Okay.
And so, that's concerning. And there was some, retaliation, tit-for-tat kind of stuff. But and we put some pressure on that, try to, get that to slow down. There's a variety of things, including drug trafficking at a high level that's very concerning to me. So not only do we have, marijuana in abundance here, which is not as benign as many people would think, we've also got a significant amount of tar heroin and methamphetamine being trafficked here. And those are drugs that we know are related to property crime. So when our drug task force gets 11 pounds of meth and heroin mixed together, and then they get, and then our own POP team does a search warrant, gets another pound and a third of tar heroin, a lot of this out of Fortuna, by the way. That's a concern, because people to consume that much tar heroin is an amazing amount. I mean, people say, okay, a pound, what's the big deal? You have to remember a dosage is a tenth of a gram. And so you can get a regular packet of sugar, that would be 10 doses. So now let's extrapolate that to 11 pounds. Amazing amount of dope.
Consumed here on the home front, or are we like a distribution center and it's out into the neighboring communities or counties?
Yeah, I think that we're probably a distribution center as well. But I think much of it is consumed locally here.
Wow.
Scary thought.
And well, also and it's not even across the board.
No.
So it's being concentrated in, in certain segments which are probably using all of them. Why don't their heads just blow off? I mean, using all this stuff.
Yeah.
Because I would imagine somebody using meth is probably using heroin and marijuana, and you put them all together, throw in a little alcohol. I mean, there's nothing that's really missing.
What's missing is then you call the police to help straighten this problem out. And what's amazing to me is when you get family members who know that a child has been using heavily for years, and then all of a sudden becomes a police problem. because nobody else is there to deal with it. Who are you going to call?
They've exhausted everybody else.
Well, they've exhausted themselves. They've exhausted their friends, their families. They've stolen from everybody. I mean, the first person who's the victim of crime by a heroin addict is the family members around them. They steal them. They rob them blind. And then who do they turn to? Well, neighbors and people they know. And then, you know, then it goes to commercial or not neighbors and so forth. And so it's really it's a problem. So once that's all reached and they come to a point where they're toxic or whether they're psychotic in their behaviors, then the police get called. And you wonder why we have violent confrontations. And so I just appreciate how well our folks are handling those. They literally get those weekly where somebody's armed with something and we have to go and intervene. And we don't wind up shooting most of them. We wind up using tactics to disarm or defuse that situation. I'm really proud of the work that our folks do on that on a regular basis.
Is it as challenging in Sonoma County as it is in Humboldt County?
I don't know that much about Sonoma County, but I can tell you this.
Or Santa Rosa. Okay. I don't know if you know the police chief there.
Well, Santa Rosa just had a gigantic seizure not too long ago. Much larger than ours. So I can tell you this, that across the nation, we're seeing a surge of heroin and heroin-related deaths. I saw a graph that's like three times what it was in the past.
So that's the drug du jour now rather than coke?
A drug du jour rather than coke or crack cocaine. You remember when we had the big crack cocaine epidemic in the 90s? I mean, you had violence all over the place. Well, heroin's much more relaxed drug, if you will, because it's a depressant, and so what you do see consequently is theft related stuff, and that's why I think one of the reasons I think you're seeing a surge in theft, you know, crimes all over the country.
The property, mm-hmm. Right? There was, boy, what was the show? One of the shows yesterday was talking about security systems, things to do to harden the target. I think is the cop phrase. So when we come back, maybe we can talk about some of those things. Just, you know, not that it's in your neighborhood, but just don't be stupid either.
Well, absolutely.
Might be the simplest way to say it. So we'll try not to be stupid when we come back.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chief Mills. Andy, so what are some of the just regular things that regular folks can do? Not that they've been targeted, maybe they have and we're ignorant and don't know it,
mm-hmm.
But just things to do around the house, around the shop to, you know, make it so that you're not going to be the target, it might be somebody else.
Well, I think there are some things you can do to ensure or to reduce the likelihood of you being a victim of property crime. The first thing you can do is to get a as visible as possible system, with an alarm system or video system for the house. And now with smart technology, it's a lot easier. My understanding is that at least one local company has the video, you know, for your house that you can watch from your iPhone. So when you're away, you can take a look at it And if your alarm goes off, you can quick pull up different camera systems in your house and so forth. And I think that's a very wise thing to do.
Inside and outside?
Inside and outside. There are some things you can do such as that. The other thing is be vigilant with your neighbors. I know people get tired of hearing about Neighborhood Watch and, you know, what does that do? But when people are actively patrolling their neighborhood and greeting people and, you know, removing the anonymity of those who would come into your neighborhood. Bob and Gene over there on O Street Neighborhood Watch Group have done a phenomenal job putting this whole foot patrol thing together. Gene Breslin, Leo Sayers, there's a bunch of people in town who have just crushed it in terms of getting the community involved and taking initiative in their own neighborhoods. The second thing is, I think, people really need to be careful with whom they have in their homes. So if you're inviting, you know, somebody into your home and the person has a drug problem and you know it, just recognize that the power of that addiction is stronger than your friendship. And people will steal. People are often going to steal from locations that they're familiar with. I mean, if you're looking at two houses side by side, your house and my house, and I'm familiar with, you know, with person's familiar with my house, and they're unfamiliar with your house, we're going to go with where you're comfortable, where your familiarity is. Because I might go into your house, and for goodness sake, you might have a trap door in the middle of the living room. And then the third thing is to secure the items that are most, or what we call hot properties, properties that are likely to be stolen. So, for instance,
secure, you mean screw them to the wall?
Well, no, hide them. Yeah, hide them, put them in a safe. So iPads, for instance, you know, those are easily sellable. They're easily transportable. You can pick them up and move them, you know, pretty quickly. Firearms are a target in this city. And because it's a large hunting community, there's a lot of firearms in the city. People have to secure those when they leave the home.
Gun safe.
It doesn't make any sense to leave a gun lying out around the house. So when you come home, you have to face that gun. You know, put it away. I mean, that just it feels like common sense to me, but evidently that's not the case. And then lastly, I would strongly suggest that people make their property unusable by others. So in other words, there's a thing called smart water that you can use where you spray it on your property and under ultraviolet light, it shows who it belongs to. You can do the old etching thing. You know, I wouldn't want to etch my iPad on the back of it, you know, because it looks ugly. But there are things you can do to make your property
or antiques, things like that.
So there are some things that you can do to, you know, protect your property and do it well.
Just spend a little bit of time.
And thought and effort. And, of course, that's something that none of us really have right now. But
I got thoughts.
Yeah.
I got plenty of thoughts for you, bud.
I certainly would look at the video and alarm systems that are available.
They're not that expensive?
I don't think so.
With that, thank you very much, sir.
You bet. Happy New Year.
And to you. We've been Talking Shop with Andy Mills. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.